We are in Isaiah chapter 33, please, if you turn your Bible there. It has been a good day on the Bible today, and we go again to Isaiah chapter 33. If you don't have an outline, there is Wayne there. I think we have enough, eh, Wayne? We do. We have a few more. Is somebody needed? No. Oh, okay. Thank you, Wayne. And we have a good class and a good closing of the Sunday school class this morning with Wayne exhorting and explaining in a very simple manner what Christ has done for us. And then a wonderful sermon on love, which means you need to choose and you need to commit and you need to put action into your life for love. See, I learned the sermon, all right? And I was telling Greg in my office in a seminary, they will ask him to change the last word action for a word that starts with C. And I have a special computer to do that, but we cannot find a word, so we keep the word action on it. All right, Isaiah chapter 33. And I entitled this chapter, the text that I'm going to use for you, the heart of the chapter, text 16 and 17, are teaching us are demonstrating four illustrations about the privilege of the Christian life. You live your Christian life in this world, and sometimes the sufferings are deep and profound, but we have some privilege that we need to remember ourselves and enjoy it. Now, chapter 33, verse 15, is the introduction to verse 16. And so I want to show you in verse 15, if you look on it, there are six unique characteristics of a real Christian. Some texts of the scripture, they are so magnificent. They explain things right on. Now, whatever version of the Bible you have, I think it speaks the same. So I'm going to show you the six characteristics of a Christian. Number one, the verse 15 reads in this way in the New King James Bible: "He who walks righteously." He who walks righteously. So he walks righteously. Righteously means righteousness is an old German word for the English word justify. He who walks like a man who is no longer guilty before God. He's just so happy because he is no guilty before God. And have you ever been in court that somebody sued you and went to court and have a car accident years ago in the city of Houston? And after 1 year, almost 1 year, because 1 year went by, then I would be free. About 11 months and 15 days, I get a suit. Somebody brought, and my company was excellent. My insurance company put the lawyer in San Francisco and they told me the court hearings will be 2.5 years. And I don't have to worry because I don't have to pay anything. And the lawyer, a nice lady, she said to me, "I meet with you 3 or 4 times, and there is one thing I want to ask you. Only one thing I need from you. I don't need any proof. I don't need any pictures. I need one thing only. You tell me the truth," she said. "And if you give me your word that you tell me the truth, you win the case." Well, I said, "What else way are you going to do it? Whatever you're guilty or not," I hit the person. The person stopped. It was a child inside. I want to take the person and the child to the hospital. They deny. They want to go. I find out the man was undocumented. And so I had to go to the police and documented the accident and never thought about it. And so all these documents were in my hand. And I remember the last day of the 2.5 years of struggles, and this man told the judge that I don't know English, and so I was this and the other, and he got surgery on his shoulders and expenses. There were a $500,000 expenditure already on this fellow. And The judge, when I went, said, you need a translator? No, sir. You study in America? Yes, sir. You have any documents? Yes. Well, he said, he looked to the other man and said, before I put this man to jail, you better get out of here and stop this nonsense suing. But if you want to pursue, he said to the other lawyer, I put this man to jail first for lying. You don't lie to a judge. That's the last thing you do. And so I said, sir, no, don't say a word. He said, okay. So he was dismissed, and we only had to pay $15 to the man. He demands $500,000. And when it all was over, I said to my lawyer, he works for a big company in San Francisco, I said, can I take you to drink a cup of coffee? He said, yes. And then I said, what really makes this so easy and simple? Because you told the truth, she said. If you will lie, they will come up. But you told the truth, and the other guy was lying, and the judge knew it, so he wanted to play, until all the lies were on the table, and then the judge will confirm if you were true or not. And when you confirm that you study in this country, you have a degree in this country, this, then how can you do not? And the guy had to have a translator when we went to court. So I thought to myself, but in the meantime, you really wonder, you know, you have a house, you have this, and they go after everything you have. When you have a car accident, that's a matter, you have insurance or not, they can sue your house, they can do anything. And when I read this, he who walks righteously, he who walks like a man who is justified before God. You know, it just, your salvation is a piece of gold. One time I went to Nicaragua when the war, 1980, and I went through the immigration, and I went through the airport, and every airport was completely empty, my wife and I only, and they took my passport away. And I knocked the door of the window, there were soldiers, you know, and I said, I want my passport back. I said, not only I'm an American, I'm an Argentinian. And the only thing I had to do was phone the ships, Argentine ships, that they are right there by Colombia, and you will be dead. And they returned the passport, and they said, you know, what do you come to say to our country? We want to know. So why don't you ask me that first? So I opened my suitcase, give them some Christian tapes, and I have a radio inside my luggage that was broadcasting everything that happened to America. And they can't believe it in the radio station. But, you know, I said, why don't you send people to the church they are going to speak? And they did. And so nothing happened to me because I told them the truth. I'm going to speak about Jesus and not about the church. I'm going to speak about the salvation of your soul and not political thing. America is so guilty as you are. And they are so bad as you are. And they, wow. Say, America's no better than us? No, America's no better. No, nobody is better except God. And so that's equality. When you walk like a justified person, you know, like a person who had a peace with God, it's important. So look at the characteristics. So he walked righteously. Then number two, verse 15, and he speaks uprightly. So uprightly means honesty. He speaks with honesty. Whatever you said is done. That's it. That's what it is. He speak with honesty. All right? Speak with honesty. That's very important statement. Okay? Now, number three, look at what they said. He who despises the gain of oppression. In other words, you don't want anything that is dishonest. You don't abuse people because you can gain something. All right? That's amazing. Number four, look at here. Refusing bribes. Refuse to be corrupted by evil gain, bribes. I give you this and then you say that. That's where it is important, all right? And look at 5, in verse 15, who stops his ears from hearing of blood shed. So is slow to hear evil. Doesn't enjoy to hear evil. Doesn't have pleasure of that. And I like the last one. Look at what they said. And shut his eyes from seeing evil. Careful about what we see. Careful about what we see. You know, that's the introduction to verse 16. The characteristics of these. So being a believer really affects the whole beings. And I want to share some text. Put one hand in Isaiah and some text in Romans for you so that you see some verification of this in the New Testament, like in Romans 6, chapter 6 and verse 13, to see some verification of what the Apostle Paul said concerning this statement of Isaiah. In Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Romans 6 and verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, this is very important, all right? Now, let's go to Romans chapter 12. You know this one, Romans 12, and verse 1 and 2. And look at how wonderfully the description here. He said in Romans 12 and in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, means in wholeness with God, remember Leviticus, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this is what we have to do, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I keep saying this, you hear me over and over, but it is true. You renew your mind by reading the Word of God. And if you do it in the morning, just a little bit, maybe one verse, maybe two verses, you renew the Word of God. I keep saying, read Proverbs, will change your life and will put signs of alerts in your mind against evil. Now comes Isaiah 16 and 17. And we're going to see four illustrations that we as Christians have in this. And the first illustration from Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 16 is our position in Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. See, if a person is a Christian and walk like a Christian, according to verse 15, verse 16 now, he will dwell on high. He will dwell on high. The question is this: does this mean that we shall go to heaven when we die? And the answer to that is no. Absolutely no. We need to see this in the light of Ephesians chapter 2. And don't panic, I clarify everything quickly for you. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to see with me in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to see verses 1 and verse 6. The book of Isaiah, the prophet said, and if you are a Christian and you walk like I told you in verse 15, you will dwell in high. No, in the future, but the next step in your life is to, if you live like a Christian, you dwell on high. Now look at here, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And again, this is the New King James. Other Bibles have made a mess of this text. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And now I want you to look with me in verse 6. Verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God, as Wayne explained in Sunday school this morning, God took your place. All right? Now, look at what happened in verse 16. Because you believe that God took your place, look at where you are today. And raised us up together. No, we'll raise, but past tense. Raise us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. The moment the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, in the moment that you believe that Jesus Christ died in your place, you are born again, and we were placed in a new and wonderful position. We are in heaven now. Wow. It's not that we're going to be in heaven. We are in heaven now. More than that, if you move your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to show you what the Apostle Paul explained to the Corinthians. Chapter 15 and verse 22. Look at what he says. For as in Adam all die, in other words, you are in your body who perish, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In other words, you are in Christ, you are alive. In the text that explained very well is 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17. Remember, that's very famous. You know it and explained very well. Therefore, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, if you are in Christ, you have a new building block made out of you. You are no longer the old block. You are the new block. You are totally new. Not only that, if you go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, look at what the Bible says. You got an American passport, I'm very sure you do. And look at what passport, the day you believe in Christ, you have. For our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a heavenly citizen, and even right here and now, God has made provisions for us to dwell on high. So therefore, when Isaiah is presenting that, they said, the one who lives in this way, verse 15, he is already in a new place. Sometimes when we are hit by all the needs of this world, we feel cramped by all the difficulties and all the problems, and we do not realize that we are no longer here. We are way above. I want to look at in Romans chapter 8 for you. And I want to encourage you with this. Romans, this is the position you have. You're not dealing with the position of law in the world. You are way high. Romans 8, verse 16 and verse 17. So the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Some people say, how do you know? I ask people, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, the Spirit of God witnessed to your spirit. And then look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So we are in a position that is totally alive, all right? And let me close this part of our position with back in your Bible in 1 John, in chapter 3, these glorious verses of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. These are beautiful. If we have this hope, then we must live a very responsible and righteous life like he demanded. Look at in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, the world has not known us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Not then, later on, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purify himself just as he is pure. In other words, sometimes through the affairs of life and through the difficulties of life and through the things of life, we lost perspective of who we are and what we do. I just quote this verse an hour and a half ago in McDonald's. Before coming here, I go home, after the morning service, we take lunch with people, and then my wife come here for the choir with Jacqueline. I go home and take a nap and come back. And before here, I keep it straight to my McDonald's. I get a cup of coffee. Now, most of the people see me in McDonald's in working clothing, so from the gym. So they don't see me like this. And suddenly, I saw an Americano saying, "Sir, sir." And so I move up to the other side. "Are you calling me?" "So yes, Pastor, come here." So I said, "He must know me." He said he was from Bible church. And on Wednesday morning, they have a Bible study, and they pray for us as I deal with Leo and the others over there. And then he said, "Man, you're really good looking." The man was about my age or something like that. "You're really good looking. You're really good." And I said, I look around. I said, no, this is my wife. Don't get confused. This is my wife." He said, I'm not from the other camp. No, I'm a believer. "But you're really good looking. You really fill the pulpit. You're really good looking." He said, people were coming in to what happened. So I said, "Just a minute." I took my little computer and I read this verse 2 again to him. He said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." So I say, if you think it now good looking, imagine how good looking I'm going to be in heaven. You cannot recognize me. I said, "But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him." He said, whatever suit I have and whatever shoes, and he looked at my shoes. "Oh, these shoes are Clementine shoes." He knew exactly the brands of shoes and things. "Oh, these and the other." And I said, "You have no idea what we will be in heaven." "Yeah, but," he said, "no, nice to have a pastor who looks good." He said, "And I know your pastor." He said, "He's a young man, 40-something, and he looks good." I said, it's just amazing how people look to this world. But these texts talk about the inner. So our position in Christ. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 33. Verse 16 said, "He who dwell on high." We dwell on high. We have that position. We are sitting in places, and nothing should worry us. Nothing should panic us. We should be under the control of God, knowing that God will work things out. It's just amazing. Now, look at our protection in Christ in verse 16. We have our position. Look at our protection. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. In other words, he is our protection. All right? Let me look for you in Colossians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 3, look at what the scripture says. He's our protection. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He is our protection. We are under the protection of God. And why things happen to us then? Well, you know the classic verse of the Bible in Romans in chapter 8 and in verse 28. Why things happen to us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so and the protection of our life is not our work, is not our houses, not the police in our city, is God. That is our protection. Our body is just passing by. Our hair is gone for some of us. And nothing of this world is any value whatsoever. Our great protection, like Isaiah said here in verse 16, his place of defense will be the fortress of rock. If your protection is when I'm in crisis, I want to pray, Lord, I belong to you. I need a job. Lord, I need this. Lord, you know it before I pray. But in humble spirit, I pray to you. Put your umbrella. My husband is a troublemaker. My wife's a troublemaker. Doesn't mean you're going to, as Greg told today, you don't split love. But Lord, give me patience. Leave me understanding how to help the other person. In other words, God's going to protect, going to put an umbrella on you. And your protection is not your counselor, even if he's a pastor. Your protection is Christ. And we do not use Christ as we should. And you can use Christ in prayer because he takes your prayers and bring it to you. Now, going back to Isaiah, our position is in heaven. Our protection is Christ. And now look at our provision in verse 16. He said, and he will dwell on high. The man who behave like verse 15 will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given to him. Bread will be given to him. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. In other words, for the substance of physical life, God, as a gracious father, will supply bread, which is another expression of the gospel. But let's go in Psalm, please. Go with me to Psalm 34, all right? And look with me in verse 10. Psalm 34 and verse 10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 34, verse 10. The provision that we have in Christ. See, you have to be wise, though. You have to be understanding. I have to counsel somebody this week, and the person showed me is that he has such a prestige that he has another Mercedes and so on. And here I draw my old Lincoln. And then you have these. You had no prestige, but I have, and really hurt me, I tell you. Really, I came home depressed. Not because I won the Mercedes, because I said, I was depressed, not about me, about the other person. I said, Lord, what can I do to show this person that it is not the Mercedes-Benz who makes you and I? He said, the church that I go now, we have a club of prestige man, eloquent man, and it hurts me to the deepest. I said, this person has been here and have no hear of the gospel. I tell you. See, now let's look to Psalm 37 and verse 25. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young, this is David speaking, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendant begging bread. Now, some people take this spiritually, but we already have the bread, so it's not talking about the spiritual life. It's talking about the life that we need. It's just amazing. Let me just briefly remind you. I put it in the paper in page 99. What I thought, I don't want to go to the scripture because it take another hour, but let me show you the eight things that we have in Christ. We have eternal life that can never be lost. Remember John 10:28. We have eternal life can never be lost. We have an eternal mansion in the new heaven. Remember John 14:2-3 says, Jesus, where do you go? So I go to prepare a place for you. All right? Now, we have a glorified body at the rapture. Brother Romulo will not have valve problems in heaven. Mildred will have a brand new, better backbone than what the doctor did. And she will be running, and our brother cannot reach him because she went to speed him. You know what I mean? Don't feel bad, people. Now, a righteousness found nowhere but in Christ in heaven. There will be no pastors with mistakes like me, others. Any man who preaches is always, is not 100% sure because we're human. But over there will be great. A peace which can never be shaken. We will have a peace of God that never be shaken. An inheritance which can never fade and never go away. It's not conditional. A reward for a faithful service to God. Remember the scripture say that. And then a relationship which can never be broken is me and God. Me and God. Amazing. So we have a provision. We have a spiritual provision and a physical provision. And I'm trying to teach that to people. And I'm trying to tell them, if you have a place to sleep, whether you rent or you own, and if you have a food in your table, you are complete. You're absolutely complete. Don't expect more. You know, when I started my seminary in 68, 69, they asked me the question, how high do you want to go in the studies? And I said, sir, I will go as high as God allowed me. And the dean, Dr. Balshah, said, oh, I like that. I like that. He said, so you never fail. That was good. I never knew that, but he added, you never fail because whatever you accomplish is what God wants for you. I like that, he said. So a provision from Christ. And then our panorama is in verse 17. It's very easy. Go back to Isaiah 33, verse 17. Here's our panorama. Your eyes will see the king and his beauty. Wow. Your eyes will see the king and his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. Wow. See, it's amazing. There was a man who wished that. Look, go with me one little more in Hebrews chapter 11. There was a man that he was here on earth, but he really wants what Isaiah promised. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Remember the chapter of faith. And look with me, verses 8 to 10, the faith of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Amazing, no? Verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of same promise. Why he was peaceful there and have nothing and has everything in Iran, but he don't have anything here and he was happy. Why? Look at verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham. Uncle Abraham was rich. I mean, Uncle Abraham was rich. And Uncle Abraham never thought that his riches here had anything to do with him. He said, I really move on to see the panorama that I will have in Christ is much better than all of this. So what a great privilege we have as Christians. We have a position. We are in heaven. That's why if I die, I asked a priest here in town. I said, why you need to rush to the home of somebody, somebody dies. So we want to get the extrema confessione. In Latin means the final confession. Why? Because you need to confess the last sin to be to heaven. Otherwise, he's not pure. What happened to the blood of Christ? Oh, he have not taken the mass. I said, well, Father, I said, you don't read the Bible with the spiritual eyes. You read the Bible with the canon instruction. Read the Bible by yourself. See, we have a position. We are in heaven now. Oh, what an atrocity. See, we're in heaven now. We have a protection, and the protection is Christ. We have a provision. See, you eat and you sleep every day. That's provision from God. All right? And we have a panorama. Our view is not the new curtain or the new carpet or the new window. Our peace of mind is one day I will see the Lord. What a tremendous chapter that give us a responsibility. And give us a responsibility then to live like verse 15. Walking righteously, speaking uprightly, despise any gain of oppression, refusing bribes, do not listen to nonsense, and do not look what is not proper. If we really, if we really appreciate what God has done, this will be taken care of. May God bless us that tomorrow we start as Isaiah really required. Thank you, Father, for the great reminders of what we are. We should be the most happy people in the whole earth because we have everything we need. We even have a foreshadow of the place where we want to be. Revelation said that there will be no need of the sun, no need of the moon, because the Lord will be our light. And I try, Lord, as an engineer, to figure out what kind of energy the Lord will produce and so on. That's nonsense. I just have to believe it. The Lord will be our light. And so, Father, help us this week ahead to face every detail of our life with a peace of mind and the assurance that we really understand you and are happy with you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Oh.